Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. We'll go to your calls in just a few moments. Want to mention the Bible Answer Man support team. If you haven't signed up, all you have to do is talk to one of our resource consultants at 888-7000 and letter CRI, or you can go online at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. When you do write, you have to indicate that you want to be a support team member, and then we'll have someone contact you to fulfill the transaction. Again, you can call me, you can write me, or you can join online. But those that are supporters are indeed making a difference for time and for eternity. My deepest gratitude for those that joined and those who will continue to join in the days to come. My way of saying thank you is also made concrete when I send you a personalized copy of one of my books to you, a family member or friend. Again, check it out on the web at equip.org. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up, Steve, Henderson, Nevada. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Hank, my question is, do you believe that the return of Christ is as veiled as it has ever been?
No, certainly, yes. I mean, we have no indication whatsoever when Jesus Christ is going to return. What we do have is the words of the Almighty who said, I told you these things long ago before they happened. I announced them to you so that you could not say my idols did them, my wooden image, my metal God ordained them. Or as Jesus said, I have told you now before it happened so that when it does happen, you will believe. So we have the Bible where prophecies are made and prophecies are fulfilled, and on the basis of that, we have the certainty that Jesus will appear a second time. But there's nothing in Scripture that gives us any inkling of when that will be. The only thing we're told is to be faithful and fruitful. We may suffer for a short time, but our eternal vindication is just that. It's eternal. It's everlasting. It will never end.
Myself, the experience I've had is that the scripture that Christianity uses to regulate this is no man will know the day or the hour of his return. Now, for me, that boundary is very limited, hour and day. And 10 years ago or so, I started to cross that boundary. And just like you said, I was escorted back continuously by that scripture. But I still continued to cross and search for the answers. Well, for one answer that I received was Abraham. We were promised a son from the foundation. Abraham was promised a son also. There's a parallel. Okay, then Abraham waited 14 years for his promised son. We went through the creation. We've traveled another 6,000 years. We're in the 13th day of a 14-day journey. Well, in the 13th year of Abraham's 14-year journey, in the plains of Mamre, three angels came, and one of them...
You know, I got to stop you just a moment, Steve, because you are absolutely prostituting Scripture, number one, and number two, you're not tethered to the Word of God. You're going off on a
that
subjective...
That is the Word of God. I'm
no, you're going, you know, you're going
it's
off on a... Just
I
a
mean,
second.
You know, well,
Steve,
then what did
a second. You're going off on a subjective flight of fancy. And this is what prophecy pundits have done for centuries. And the one thing that they always have in common is they're 100% wrong 100% of the time. You started by quoting from Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is not given to tell us when Jesus Christ is going to appear a second time. Matthew 24 is about, and all you have to do is look at the context, it is about Christ coming in judgment. Jesus, the heir to the linguistic riches of the Old Testament prophets, and a greater prophet than them all, uses their language, the language of judgment that was meted out against the Medes and the Persians, meted out against the Babylonians, empires of antiquity. He is now using that language and applying it to what will happen to Jerusalem. It is the infidels and skeptics of our day who have used this very passage to say that Jesus Christ is a false apocalyptic prophet. And their problem is the same problem that you are manifesting. They are not able to read the passage in the sense in which it is intended. And so they think that Jesus thought that his second appearing would happen within a generation. But Jesus was talking about his coming in judgment, and it happened within a generation, just as he said. And because that took place, we can be absolutely certain that when he says he will come a second time, that will take place as well. But there is nary a clue in Scripture as to when that is going to take place. You look at the modern-day prophecy pundits. Tim LaHaye comes to mind. He was the one who predicted that the very generation that heard the Austrian declaration of war, referring to World War I, in 1914, would see the return of Jesus Christ. Now, if we think about those people who heard that Austrian declaration of war, they would be well over 100, some over 120, 30, 40 years old right now. In other words, we have another failed prophecy. Or think back to all the people who said that Jesus Christ would appear in his secret coming in 1981. Why? Because the state of Israel was founded in 1948. They added a generation to that, came up with 88, subtracted 7. 81 was the magic date. Didn't happen. And so they recalibrated. And they came up with the Six-Day War, 1967, added 40 to that, subtracted 7, came up with the year 2000. Didn't happen. Then we had Harold Camping, Jack Van Impe. And in every case, they are wrong. And their being wrong is no small matter. Because every single time a failed prophecy pundit is paraded through the newspapers, people suppose that the Bible is outdated, unreliable, because its prophecies do not come to pass. The problem, again, the systemic problem, is a failure to read Scripture for all its worth. And by the way, the whole timing pattern that you gave in terms of age is simply flawed as well. It is flawed because the Bible does not give us the genealogy so that we can come up with a chronology, but rather it gives us mountain peaks, highlights. They're symmetrically arranged for a reason. They're not chronologically arranged. So there is a system that the Bible uses, and unless you know the basic art and science of biblical interpretation, you are going to delude all kinds of people and be self-deluded yourself. I've written about this in my book, Has God Spoken? Because the Bible can be demonstrated to be divine as opposed to merely human in origin, not just because of archaeology, not just because of the manuscript attestation, but because of predictive prophecy as well. So predictive prophecy was never designed so that we could pin the tail on the Antichrist or pinpoint a future tribulation. Prophetic stars in the constellation of biblical prophecy demonstrate in a very powerful way that God has spoken, that the Bible is divine rather than merely human in origin. So counterfeit prophecy stars, they're all alike. They're consistently wrong. In illumined contrast, genuine prophecy stars are infallibly correct, and unlike the pretenders, their prophetic prowess cannot be pawned off to good luck, to good guessing, or to deliberate deceit. The reason that I have spoken strongly about this is because, unfortunately, more and more people are falling for sophistry, sloppy reasoning, script torture, sensationalism. You think about John Hagee. He writes a dreadful book, horrendous book, Four Blood Moons. It's a cobbled together book, hardly coherent, sensationalistic. Wrong once again, just as all the prophecy pundits before him have been, and missed the main and the plain thing, and that is God has spoken. We're coming to the station break. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments. Please don't touch that dial.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
If you thought the pandemic was scary, it may actually pale in comparison to today's pandementia. We're talking about wokeism and its growing legions of followers who have defiantly and dangerously declared their independence from reality. That's right. For those infected by the woke virus, anytime their ideology encounters reality, ideology wins. To help halt the advance of this deadly social and mental disease, you'll want a copy of the upcoming special edition of the Christian Research Journal. In it, you'll feast on penetrating analyses and criticisms of one of the most dangerous ideologies in modern history, all written to help you grasp just how deranged this tyrannical movement actually is. To receive your copy, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Right back to our phone callers. Next up is Bev. She's listening in Rogers, Arkansas. Hi, Bev.
God bless you. How are you?
I'm good. Nice to have you on the air.
I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller, and I'm actually calling about a program I heard. A woman had called you and was asking you about people of different faiths praying for her, and she mentioned specifically a Jehovah Witness and a Pentecostal. And I was really surprised by your answer, because when you responded to her, you told her that Pentecostals were not Christians because they did not believe in the Trinity, and they manufactured their own version of Jesus. And I'm Pentecostal. I was raised Lutheran. I became Pentecostal later on in life. I'm actually going to school and studying about my faith. Currently, I go to an Assemblies of God church. And I know that in the early history of the Pentecostal revival, there were some small factions that did not believe in the doctrine of the Trinity. However, as a whole, to say that the Pentecostals do not believe in the Trinity is probably not accurate. It's not indicative of the whole Pentecostal faith. We believe in the triune God, three separate entities, one God. We believe that Jesus is the only Son of God, the only way into heaven. He is God. He is the Son. And so I'm kind of confused as to where you have the idea that we're not Christians.
Well, I don't think you're confused at all. I mean, I think what you said, I agree with 100%. The only confusion is that perhaps you heard me speaking about oneness Pentecostals and supposed that I was speaking about Pentecostalism. You know, I certainly agree with you 100% that the Assemblies of God were on the vanguard of saying that oneness Pentecostalism, when it first originated, was a cult, was outright heresy. So Pentecostals rightly identified oneness Pentecostalism as heresy. But Pentecostalism is certainly acceptable within the pale of orthodoxy. There are secondary issues we could debate vigorously, but ultimately we certainly do not have to divide over them. So I could not agree with you more.
Okay, I was just a little confused. I was like, did he just say I wasn't a Christian?
No, okay. Not at all. In fact, you know, it's one of the points I make in the Osteenification of American Christianity that it's really unfortunate that Pentecostals as well as charismatics oftentimes are put in the word faith camp and broad-brushed as though they're one and the same. And sometimes there is this confusion that you correctly point out between oneness Pentecostalism and Pentecostalism. So I'm so glad you called to clarify that, because there may have been other people that misunderstood as well. It could even be possible that I misspoke. I don't think I did, but it's possible.
I was driving down the road, so I may not have heard oneness, the term oneness.
Yes.
You know, I was driving. I was trying to pay attention, but I was a little offended, I'll be honest, because I've been a fan for, you know, for so long listening to you, and I've learned so much. And I thought, wait a minute. I'm a Christian, so I just wanted to clarify that with you.
Well, Bev, thank you so much for calling. Bless you.
God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Charles, listening in Utah. Hi, Charles.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. So I have it was based off also of a gentleman had called in to your station posing a question on can a person such as person who believes in Jesus still attend a cult-like church, for example, the LDS Church. And you went into a little bit of detail, and there are a couple of things that I wanted to point out and then ask a question. The first is, I know I was a previous LDS member for all my life, very active, and a recent convert to Christianity. And one of the things that I learned was that in order to for me personally, to completely convert, I had to, as they said, be willing to forsake all, pick up my cross, and follow Jesus. And so on that end, I think of it as, in order to truly be converted, that is the only way in which you do it. Having said that, I have friends who do not believe it's in the faith. They do believe in Christianity and in that faith, but for fear of losing everything, losing potentially their jobs, losing their families, losing their spouse, losing their children, because of the great hold that churches such as the LDS Church and others have, they secretly believe, so to speak. So my question is, what from a scripture standpoint are those? Is there? Do they need to do more than just believe? Do they need to, as I had mentioned, actually show that they are Christian through their words and their deeds, or is it enough to have that belief and suffer through the weekly meetings of a congregation they do not believe in?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And the way I would answer that is look at the early Christian church. Now, they were citizens of an empire, and they were commanded to say, Caesar is Lord. And instead, they were baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, and they said, no, it's not Caesar that's Lord, it's Christ that is Lord. And baptism identified them visibly with the body of Christ. So they were making a public declaration, I am no longer my own. I've been bought with a price, and whatever the cost, I will follow Jesus. He is the wisest man who ever lived. I want to be a participant in his kingdom because he is, after all, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's God in human flesh. And so as Christians, we're not secret agents. We're those who blow our cover, as it were, before the unregenerate world. And whatever cost or sacrifice there is, we bear that cost happily. And with Paul, we say, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. I could continue quoting from Philippians, but I think you get the point. There is no place for compromise in the Christian faith. We follow Jesus Christ, and if that costs us lands or homes or families, we follow Jesus Christ. Difficult to do, but that's what we're called to do as followers of Jesus Christ, extend his kingdom, not only in time, but also in eternity. Reject that which is false and follow truth.
I appreciate that. I'd say that is something where I was faced under that situation and had to decide between my family and in Christ. Luckily, it was very difficult, but we were able to stay together in our family, have all joined together in Christianity. I have several friends and that have asked me questions, and I've been very hesitant to openly talk to them about the knowledge I have, but I think I'm going to be more bold in the future.
Well, bless you. I'm so glad you called today.
Thank you.
And back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jim. He's listening in Pennsylvania. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Hank. I'm a first-time listener and a first-time caller.
Oh, wow. Good to have you on the air.
I apologize for the background noise. I'm on my Bluetooth in my car, so I am hands-free. But I'm just going to ask my question and jump off and listen to your answer on the air. Was listening to some Christian radio today as I was driving, and in the Bible where they had the teachings and the letters that are written to the different groups of people, for example, say Paul to the Romans or to the Corinthians or to whomever, who were these letters actually being written to, and then what would actually happen to those letters after they were written? If you could answer that for me. And like I said, I'll take that answer off the air. Thanks.
Sure. Yeah. And sometimes they were written to the church at Rome. Sometimes, as with John in the book of Revelation, they're written to the seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. Sometimes they're directly addressed to others. For example, if you look at Timothy, Paul says he's an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. And then he says, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. So Paul is writing a letter to Timothy, and Paul is one of those who saw the resurrected Christ on the road to Damascus. And what we have in Scripture are letters from those who were eyewitnesses or close associates of eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they are testified to as being those who are the representatives of Christ in writing that which is canonical. And canon means measuring rod or rule, and there are certain measurements by which we know that which is not determined by men, but rather discovered by men on the basis of these principles. And so these letters, such as the one that I just quoted from, the early church fathers accepted them as part of the canon on the basis that they were widely used within the churches and ultimately traceable to the authority of the apostles and prophets. We're going to have to leave it at that because we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.